Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
My name is Amy Belafonte. I'm the girl from nowhere. The one no one will miss.
A 32-year-old female pronounced dead on the scene of an apparent drug overdose.
I was 10 years old the night my mama died.
No! She doesn't have any people?
She said no. Poor thing. Just her mama.
Hello, Amy. We understand your mother died. We're very sorry for your loss. We think she was exposed to a toxin. The CDC wants you to see a specialist in Colorado.
And how come they didn't send a lady? They always send a lady.
She's 10 years old. Explain to me why you need a kid.
You know the people we work for, Brad. You can't cross them.
Tell me again, what are we going to do?
We're going to get out of here. We're going to remember and notice everything. And we're going to be ready.
Good. What are we not going to do?
Go! Put your head down!
Oh! Panic.
You don't leave me and I don't leave you.
Let's go. Come on.
This is the part I think of the most.
I'm not going to leave you.
Whatever was coming,
I promise,
we would face it together.
All right, Fox has decided to take a bite into the world of vampires with the new series, The Passage. Inspired by a sci-fi book series by Justin Cronin. And the series airs on Monday nights at 8 Central on Fox. It stars Mark Paul Gosselaar, and he joins us tonight. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congrats on the new series.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited that people tuned in and are on a journey with us.
You play a federal agent in the series, and for those who have yet to see an episode or two, share with us what the series is all about.
Well, I play an ex-federal agent who had a tragic incident happen in his life, and then those incidents led to him working for a secret medical government facility called Project NOAA. They've been tasked with trying to find a cure for infectious diseases. They've been experimenting on death row inmates, and they've been having some horrific results, leading them to believe that they would have better results with a younger subject, which is sort of where our story takes off. My character has to apprehend a young girl played by Sanaa Sidney, and we sort of go on the run, and that sort of gives you a little taste of what we did in the first episode. But the story that we're going to tell is the first quarter of the first book of a trilogy written by Justin Cronin. These are epic books for anyone who's a fan of the books. They know that the story spans present day to about 1,000 years into the future. And we're just focusing on the first quarter of the first book.
Now, shows, you know, like Justin Cronin, if you're a fan of his, as you said, you're going to really dig this book. But even if you haven't, it's a great, deep storyline that I think viewers will enjoy. And because these books were out there, is it helpful or more overwhelming to have so much backstory, you know, of the version of your character and how it was originally written at your fingertips when you're playing this role?
Well, I think it would be a question better served for our executive producer, showrunner, Liz Heldens, because she was tasked with trying to adapt these books into a TV show. Originally, our producers on this are Matt Reeves and Ridley Scott. Originally, they were developing it for a film. They couldn't figure out how to condense these books into a 90-plus minute film. And unfortunately, they went down the path of adapting it for TV. Liz Heldens did an amazing job. She has used backstories from all three books and used it to sort of create and expose these characters for the decisions that they're making in our story right now.
Now, and I know you read these books, so from the first time when you read the script, did it change the way you saw your character and how it needed to be played?
Liz stays very true to the books. So when you're reading the books, Justin Cronin's descriptions and his adjectives that he uses to describe the characters and the settings. We use that as well in the script. So it really was all there. The only parts that we started veering sort of from the way the books are told, the only times that we would veer is when we'd insert backstory that Justin had already had in the books.
Gotcha.
There's a few moments where Liz sort of doesn't stay true to exactly the storytelling in the books, but I think I'm a huge fan of the books. I know that I'm okay with it, and I feel like it enhances Justin's books that much more and his storytelling.
Oh, I love this, and I love this. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the good thing is Justin is completely on board, and we have his approval. To have him give us a thumbs up means the world to us.
I was going to say that makes a big difference because it's kind of rare sometimes when a movie company or network secures the rights to books and develops movies or series around them. The original author usually isn't involved, and Justin is a producer on the series. And I have to think that kind of does force the storyline to stay true or close to true to the books themselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think we've done a really good job of marrying the two projects together.
You've talked about this being, and I've seen you on some talk shows, the most ambitious show that you've been a part of. What's been the biggest challenges and opportunities for you in taking on this role?
Well, for me, I've never done a true genre type project like this. A lot of the times we're acting against things that might be put in post. So it's sort of hard to sort of make sure that you're true to the emotion that you're trying to convey. Physically, this was one of the most demanding roles that I've had to play. As the story unfolds, my character goes on the run, and a lot of weaponry and tactical stuff, and a lot of fighting scenes. And physically, I was a little beat up after filming.
I bet. Well, even though in reading the books, which I've read, your character plays a large part in shaping the story. Although he's not in every storyline, did you realize at some point that you had to like make sure you had a place in this story for years to come? Because I mean, this series is so centrally focused around you. You know.
Yeah, well, anyone who's read the books knows that the Project Noah is the first quarter of the first book, and so again, that's our first season. Then the books sort of skip 94 years into the future.
Right.
I think we're going to fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks of what actually happens from present day until 94 years into the future. So I think that's Liz's job, and thankfully it's not mine because that would keep me up at night.
Now, this Project Noah that you mentioned, it's about this virus, and it turns the infected into these blood-sucking, clairvoyant killing machines, and that's where we bring the vampires in. They're not called vampires on the show. They're called virals, and I think it'll surprise viewers, because if you've watched, like, a True Blood or Vampire Diaries or Twilight, there's kind of a sense of what a vampire is, and they're very different in this series.
They're very different because they're humans that have been exposed to a virus that has converted into these beings. And Justin likes to describe them as uber predators. They're fast, they're agile, they're indiscriminate. But they were people. And there's no romantic quality to these vampires. They're based on the mythology of vampires. So they exposed to the sunlight they drink blood, but that's where the parallels end.
You are the most familiar face in the series, but you've got a great cast surrounding you as well.
Unbelievable cast. Emmanuel Shariki, the young girl, Sanaya Sidney, she plays Amy Belafonte in her story. 12 years old, a phenomenal actor. She steals scenes every time she's on screen. Ian Cusick, he was on the 100 as well as Lost.
Right. Yeah.
Jamie McShane. I have a history with Jamie McShane. He's been on NYPD Blue. He was on Raising the Bar with me
at
one point. So I'm so glad that he's on our cast. Vincent Piazza, Brianne Howie, Carolyn Chikaze. We have an unbelievable cast.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You have talked about the character of Amy is older than the character in the books. And being a bit older, because I think in the books she was like six, she's 12 here. I'm sure having a more mature actor in the role and at that age probably creates a better connection between the characters as it transferred to television.
I think it's twofold. I believe that, yes, you're right, that it creates a better connection. I think also that it would have been hard for people to see some of the things that are going to transpire throughout our season happening to a 6-year-old. It really would have been disturbing. It plays well in the books because it's in your mind.
Yeah.
But to actually see it on screen might have been too much for people to handle on broadcast television. So not to take it away from anything that we're doing, because what we're doing is probably going to keep a few people up at night, but
yeah,
not to the sense of seeing it happening to a 6-year-old.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Before I let you go, I know you just had this kind of mini reunion. You were promoting The Passage on the set of Extra with Mario Lopez, yeah. Which, and I know you guys have remained friends all these years, but here's what kills me, okay, because we're about the same age or so. I cannot believe that it's the 30th anniversary of Saved by the Bell. It makes me feel ridiculously old in all this.
Yeah, how do you think I feel?
It's crazy. But it's got to be, you know, there's a lot of actors, you know, and you've done so much work, you know, Franklin Bash and NYPD Blue and so many other series and CSI, you know, but there's a lot of people that try to push away from the things they did in the early days of their career. And I always feel like you embrace those days with some love, you know, because it is part of your story, right?
Yeah, I think the only time in my career that I ever pushed back was directly after us filming Saved by the Bell. I was so known for that character, and it was a character. I mean, dyed my hair and the way I carried myself and trying to find work after that for the next 3 years was a bit difficult because I was being typecast as that kind of guy.
Sure.
But since then, I've had a pretty good run.
Absolutely.
I've never had nothing but positive thoughts of because it was a positive experience for all of us. But yeah, I always found it funny that there was just new generations of viewers watching the show because it's in syndication. It's on Netflix.
It's on ETV. My kids see it too. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I think it helps with, you know, my current projects, and as long as we get a few of those fans watching some of the current stuff, I'm okay with it.
Look, you've got young kids. The stuff that's on, of the stuff on Nickelodeon and Disney and stuff, the sitcoms are terrible. Like, so I kind of encourage my kids to watch those, the Wonder Years or Saved by the Bell or Happy Days or some of those other shows, because they're well written and they're a lot better than the crap that's on TV now. So I love them, watch it all the time.
Agreed. Yeah, my kids, my 14 and 12-year-old, have caught a few episodes of Saved by the Bell. They enjoy it.
They dig it? Okay, that's cool. Very good. Well, I love the new series. It's called Passage. It's airing Mondays at 8 on Fox, and you can catch episodes that have already aired at Fox.com. Mark, I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight, and again, congratulations on the new series.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
720 WGN.